Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is November the 18th, 2016. Election day well in the rearview mirror. The results should be pleasing to any American who has concerns about national security, jobs for Americans, sovereignty as a nation. The list goes on. Not to say that Donald Trump is necessarily going to be an answer to all prayers, but certainly he was the only viable choice that we had. And we're going to talk about the election. We're going to talk a little bit about where we are, where we need to be, what I hope the Trump administration will do. But I also hope that at some point along the way, there is a day of reckoning for the misconduct, and I believe it was misconduct, by the Clintons, by the Clinton Foundation, by those people who decided to jump into the pool with them. There has got to be accountability for all Americans. Lady Justice, you know, wears a blindfold, the notion being that all people, under the eyes of our laws, are to be treated equally. Of course, some treated more equally than others, perhaps, but that is what this nation is founded on. This is a nation of laws, as we keep on being told, not a nation of people. And when people commit serious transgressions and violations of law, they do need to be made accountable. And so I'm very happy with the outcome of the election. I'm happy that Senator Jeff Sessions has been selected to be the Attorney General. I know Jeff Sessions. We've had many conversations. I've been honored that he quoted me before Senate hearings or Senate debates on comprehensive reform in the past. I think he's going to do a fabulous job. That said, for those of you new to my program, I welcome you. Those of you who are familiar with me know that I'm a retired senior special agent with what used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service, an agency that morphed into ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Customs and Border Protection, the CBP, that includes the Border Patrol, the inspectors at ports of entry. By the way, I was an inspector for the old INS at the beginning of my 30-year career at Kennedy Airport, did that job for 4 years before I transitioned to becoming a special agent. Immigration also is encompassed within Citizenship and Immigration Services. That's the division of the Department of Homeland Security that adjudicates all of the applications for various immigration benefits, granting political asylum, granting authorization to attend school, conferring lawful immigrant status, and even United States citizenship upon aliens who seek to become Americans. And by the way, before we go further, this is a very important point. For those who are quick to wring their hands and say that anyone who wants the immigration laws are enforced are anti-immigrant, in point of fact, it is under those very same laws that the United States naturalizes more citizens than any country on this planet. Generally, it's hundreds of thousands per year. It is under those very same laws that we admit refugees and provide aliens at risk with political asylum. It's under those very same laws that we permit foreign students to study in the United States, tourists to visit the United States, and we admit more than 1 million lawful immigrants each and every year under those laws, and they are immediately placed on the pathway to United States citizenship. So when we hear this garbage, and believe me, folks, it is garbage, that if you want our immigration laws enforced, that you're a bigot and a racist and anti-immigrant and a xenophobe, and the list goes on. If you belong in Miss Hillary's bucket of deplorables, get a grip. Our laws have balance, and they were designed to be fair. They were designed to protect innocent lives, protect national security, protect the jobs and the health and safety of Americans. And if someone has a problem with it, get help. You're in dire need of a checkup from the neck up. Those are the most reasonable laws with the most reasonable motivation possible. It's about putting Americans ahead of citizens of other countries. And that's what countries are supposed to do for their citizens. You would never know it under the current administration, and you wouldn't know it under prior administrations from both political parties. And it is my opinion, for whatever it's worth, that one of the main reasons that Donald Trump did what was thought to be impossible, winning this election, started when he declared that he would build a wall and he would enforce the immigration laws. The American people aren't that stupid. They could see what is happening in their communities across the country. The massive influx of narcotics, of foreign workers, of a Tower of Babel. And believe me, I think it's great to speak multiple languages. I'm Jewish. My parents used to speak Yiddish as a secret language when I was growing up so that I wouldn't know what they were talking about. And believe me, there's no greater incentive to learn a language than when your parents are speaking it as a way of keeping you in the dark. So I think it's great to learn second and third languages. I think it's a wonderful thing. I had to study Spanish and pass proficiency exams at the Border Patrol Academy, which is where all INS personnel went for training when they hired on. I don't have a problem with foreign language. I do have a problem with a nation that is turning itself into a Tower of Babel, where we share the road with people who speak God knows what language, who can't read road signs, who can't understand what's going on. This poses a threat to the safety of motorists. I'd love to see a study done as to how many accidents involve drivers who couldn't read signs, signs that warned of snow or rain, or signs that told them where exits were, so at the last second they slammed the brakes on and caused chain reaction accidents. The lunacy that we've been listening to from both political parties really has to stop. And that's what my program has been about ever since 9/11, providing the information that the mainstream media refuses to provide. The lies keep on coming. Even the programs that supposedly are telling us what's going on, maybe not so much. We've got to wake up to what reality is. And what reality is that the news organizations have become outlets for propaganda, not for the news. You cannot have a democracy with a public that's treated like mushrooms, kept in the dark and fed a lot of manure. And if you look at most mainstream newspapers, mainstream television programming, mainstream radio programming, it is a steady diet of lies and propaganda and nonsense. Under the Soviet Union, there were two news agencies, Pravda and Izvestia. I'm willing to bet that some of their programming was more honest than the garbage that's being peddled by TV programs routinely in the United States. And it is leading to misunderstandings. It's leading to strife and civil unrest. This is a dangerous game that they are playing, in part because the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and a host of other people and organizations see in the exploitation of cheap foreign labor, see in the exploitation of open borders, opportunities to literally and figuratively make out like bandits. That has to stop. And when those ashes from 9/11 landed on my home and in part contained the remains of my neighbors, even if after I had testified before Congress 4.5 years earlier about how immigration fraud and visa fraud contributed to terrorists entering and embedding themselves in the United States in 93 at the CIA and the First Trade Center bombing, I made my mind up that I needed to go out there and provide perspectives and facts that you're not hearing anywhere else. So I have a request. If you find my program is interesting, if you find that the perspectives I provide are helpful, tell as many of your friends about the program as you can. Tell them to read my articles. You can find my articles on my own personal website, which obviously is my favorite. It's Michael Cutler, one word, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. I write for Californians for Population Stabilization, capsweb.org. I've been affiliated with them for many years. Worth checking out their website. I've become a regular columnist for the David Horowitz sponsored Front Page magazine. They do a great job, and I write for The Social Contract. Also, I want to commend One American News Network and Newsmax, because over the years when I've been on television programs, and after 9/11 I was doing a ton of them, and now TV generally does not bring on former agents. They bring in talk show hosts and pundits and pollsters who did so well during this last election to discuss immigration. They generally do a pre-interview. What would you say if you were on camera, Mr. Cutler? And you're expected to tell them the position you would take. And if somehow it doesn't go with the management preconceived notion of the message they want, you don't get on television. Suddenly you're told, oh, we've had a change in scheduling. And then you watch the program and you realize somebody else came on and really whitewashed half of what you wanted to talk about. That does not happen at One American News Network. It doesn't happen at the programs at Newsmax. They simply reach out to me and say, we're doing a story. This is the story. Would you like to come on and talk about it? That's courageous on their part. I was just on with Bill Tucker, who used to be one of Lou Dobbs' correspondents over at CNN. Lou was filling in for Steve Malzberg over at Newsmax. We did a good interview this past week. And on the 28th of November, I'm scheduled to be on the Daily Ledger with Graham Ledger, that is broadcast at One American News Network. And I'm delighted to do those shows. I'm not in studio, unfortunately. We do it through the miracle of Skype, but that's fine. It's about getting information to our American citizens so that we can counteract the lies and the propaganda and the myths and the nonsense being spewed constantly. It really has to stop. This is not the America that I grew up in as a kid. We counted on our journalists being honest and telling the news, reporting on the news. Not so much today. And that's why I'm here, and I hope you find it helpful. I didn't broadcast last week. I had a reunion with a bunch of the agents that I've worked with for over 30 years. And all of them were very upset about the direction our country has been going in. And all of us are hopeful, guardedly hopeful, that under the Trump administration, we will see a major shift in the way our government does business. And I could tell you, if you go to the American Immigration Lawyers various websites, those folks are frantic. They are absolutely beside themselves. And they keep using language, anti-immigrant and war on immigrants. So let me provide clarity to the nonsense. The difference between an immigrant and an illegal alien is comparable to the difference between a house guest and a burglar. The idea that we're waging a war on immigrants is disgusting. It's despicable. That Orwellian nonsense, by the way, I don't call it political correctness, it's Orwellian. Political correctness, in my judgment, is designed to keep people from saying things that are insulting to other human beings, that demean them, that humiliate, that denigrate. But that's not what this is about. This is Orwellian. It's about using false and misleading language to get people to not understand the issue. It's straight out of George Orwell's 1984 and Newspeak. So that's why I use the word alien. It simply means any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. So why don't we start out considering that Donald Trump said that he has a 10-point plan as to what he wants to do as soon as he takes office. And here's the 10 points that he came up with. Number one, I feel like I'm doing the Letterman top 10 list, but there's nothing humorous here. This is about our survival. Number one, build a wall on the southern border. Number two, end catch and release. And by the way, catch and release is not only happening on the Mexican border, it's been happening from within the interior of the United States. Agents catching illegal aliens, only having to release them where they get lost in the shuffle once again. I can't tell you how many times it happened to me, and I've discussed this issue, in fact, at congressional hearings when I've testified. Number three, zero tolerance for criminal aliens. Right on. Number four, block funding for sanctuary cities. That's exactly right. And in the weeks to come, I will have more to write about sanctuary cities, but I've all written extensively about it. And at the risk of sounding a little bit like George Carlin, who liked to play with words, when I think of a sanctuary, I think of a place of serenity, security, warmth, peacefulness, tweeting birds and babbling brooks. Sanctuary. Sanctuary cities promise that illegal aliens will not be treated differently from anyone else, that if encountered by the police will not notify immigration that they are here. It's insanity. And let's remember, our immigration laws and our borders are our first and last line of defense against international terrorists, transnational criminals, and fugitives from justice. So when a city says, we're looking out for the safety of illegal aliens, of course, they call them the undocumented. They are actually, if they ran the border, aliens who were uninspected. That's the term we used to use, EWI. That encourages criminals and terrorists and fugitives to set up shop in those towns, endangering the safety of the residents of those towns. What kind of sanctuary are lawful immigrants and United States citizens getting in communities that welcome with open arms people who snuck into the United States because they know damn well that there are issues in their background? Perhaps they are child rapists. Perhaps they have committed murders. Perhaps they are members of the drug cartels or terrorist organizations. But have no fear. We don't want you to be nervous. We want you to find peacefulness and serenity. So come to the sanctuary cities where you can prepare your next terrorist attack, because we're a bunch of idiots. That's what sanctuary cities are doing. And when you see Mayor Dumb Blasio stand there saying, I will defy the president. New York was the city that got hammered the hardest on 9/11. New York City. Sanctuary cities fly in the face of the Real ID Act that was passed in part because of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission, to which I provided testimony. And they fly in the face of common sense, and they fly in the face of the recommendations and the findings of the 9/11 Commission. I'll have more to say about it probably next week, but suffice it to say that the people that are out there protesting and rioting and destroying property and roughing up people, acting like a bunch of thugs, are actually fighting for a cause that will do harm to them and their families. They're just too foolish to understand it, or they hate this country that much. There's a mixed bag out there. Some people that are protesting, I think, are really decent people who've been misled. They've been conned successfully by the professional con artists known as politicians. But there are anarchists out there. There are Looney Tunes out there that want justification to become violent. And sanctuary cities and the threat that somehow immigration was going to round up people who shouldn't be here because maybe they're criminals or terrorists or fugitives. That's a hell of a reason to go out and riot. They should be rioting against the sanctuary cities because people are dying as a consequence of this. People are dying as a consequence. And I'll have more to say a little bit later on in my program today about the rioting and the lunacies. Please understand that up is down and down is up in this wacky world of immigration, which is why I call this whole deal Orwellian. George Orwell couldn't have imagined the lunacy that passes now for policy of so many of our politicians. The craziness just keeps on going on and on. So anyway, I see the word sanctuary cities, and I really start to vibrate. I testified at a murder trial of an individual, Ronaldo Rayside, a Panamanian drug dealer who I had physically put on an airplane to execute an immigration judge's warrant of deportation. This guy had a green card. He had everything he could have wanted, but he needed to sell drugs to make more money. He was a violent thug, human detritus, and he was stripped of his residency. But because, and I loved Ed Koch, I thought he was a good mayor, but Koch had the sanctuary policies going. And when this guy came back, which is a felony, the NYPD was prohibited from notifying us. This was in the late 80s. He gets arrested twice by the New York City Police Department. And on the third occasion, he's encountered by a 24-year-old police officer by the name of Robert Machado, whose wife is pregnant. Stopped him for doing a motor vehicle violation. And he fought with Robert Machado for his gun. I guess he thought that he might get arrested, worrying that he could be prosecuted for reentry, which is a felony. And so he went for Machado's gun. There's a gunfight in the middle of Brooklyn. Machado was a part of the Brooklyn South Task Force. I used to work with those guys a lot. I rode with them regularly, made many arrests with them, primarily of aliens involved with narcotics trafficking. Again, just doing the work Americans won't do, selling dope to children. Yeah, we need those entrepreneurs here. Officer Machado was killed on that street corner. I testified at the trial. Sanctuary cities. The birds weren't tweeting that day, were they? Madness. Absolute, sheer, utter madness. And all I will say for you this evening, is that if you live in the town where the mayor is a proponent of sanctuary cities, find out when the election is and get that trash out of the mayor's office. He is a threat to safety of all decent people. He is a threat to national security, or she, whoever it is. You can give money to campaigns of anybody who runs for any office in the United States. I urge you to help any candidate who runs against mayors and governors of sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, provided that the person that you support, and I don't care about political party, both parties stink, okay? The Democrats and the Republicans cans aren't worth sweat, but individuals are. And I urge you to support any candidate, because there are elections coming next year and the year after and so forth. It's not just a presidential election. I urge you to do your homework. Find out who's running, who supports sanctuary cities, because sanctuary cities can be used as staging areas for criminals and terrorists. Understand that. Because sanctuary cities provide basically a basis of operations for terrorists. So they do their stuff, they get in their car or their van or their truck, and God forbid, on the day that they're going to do whatever it is they're going to do, all they've got to do is drive down the highway and get to the location where they're going to do their thing, and Americans may well pay a hell of a price. Sanctuary cities have got to go. The people who make them into sanctuary cities have got to go. Election Day is for that exact purpose. So I ask you to please do your homework. Find out which mayor is running, which governor is running, where they stand on immigration. Make certain to question the challengers. You don't want to trade one loser for another loser. But if you know someone is standing up and saying, I will end the sanctuary city if I am elected, support that candidate. And you can do it all over the country, wherever you want. Spin the wheel, find a sanctuary city, and figure out how to get that guy out of office during the next election. Send them packing. Send them packing. It's been estimated that 7,000 people per year lose their lives to aliens who should not be in the United States. It is an outrage beyond words. It is an outrage beyond words. And we, the people, can make a difference. We saw it on Election Day with the Trump election. But we've got lots of work to do. Lots of cities and states around the country need to get the memo. And the memo is, we will not tolerate sanctuary cities. And please do not for a heartbeat confuse sanctuary cities with being compassionate. There is nothing compassionate about flooding a community with illegal aliens. It drives down wages. It displaces American workers, especially in America's struggling minority communities, which is why you have astronomical unemployment rates. And by the way, the most likely victim of transnational criminals who set up shop in sanctuary cities are the members of the same ethnic immigrant communities. And it's not just about Latin America. That's another piece of nonsense. The immigration laws have absolutely nothing to do with Latinos or any other group like that. And that's why the word alien has been stricken, so that we can twist the whole conversation sideways. Every ethnicity is involved in this business, because people are people. I don't care what your skin color, your race, or your religion is. Every group has the good, the bad, and the ugly. Whether it's the Russian community, the Asian community, the Caribbean community, doesn't matter. They all have the good, the bad, and the ugly. I know, because I've arrested thugs in every one of those communities, and I've met some truly wonderful people in every one of those communities. It's a microcosm for America. So anyone who thinks that we're singling out a particular ethnic group, get a grip and face reality. This is simply about protecting all Americans from people who come here from other countries to do harm to us. Basic as it gets. It's comparable to a responsible homeowner looking through the peephole when someone rings the doorbell to make certain not to let someone into his or her home that poses a threat to their well-being. That is what immigration is. But you look at the lawyers, and I would rather not, because I just had a nice dinner and I don't want to become ill, but many of these immigration lawyers, and some of them, by the way, are members of Congress. Find out who they are. If you have a guy who or a gal who is an immigration attorney, and they're voting, for example, for comprehensive reform, and there's a little clause that says the government will pay the legal fees for the illegal alien. I want you to stop and think about that one. They're not being compassionate. They want to make sure they get paid. These are lawyers. Remember, they're not saints. Goodness gracious. Lawyers are like that. I'm taking some pleasure. I just read an article where they actually said that some law firms are now firing their partners. They make people partners. They giveth and they taketh away when they realize that the partner could be replaced by a new kid out of law school who would demand less money. So they're eating their own, and I wish them bon appetit. You know, I have no use for these characters. But understand that in comprehensive reform was a provision. Now think about it. Come here legally, you're paying your legal fees. File a tax return, you're paying accountant fees. But if you're an illegal alien, the immigration lawyers in Congress want these folks to not have to pay for lawyers, so they're guaranteed a paycheck or their friends are. There is nothing compassionate about these nitwits. They're not on our side. Trust me. Trust me. You really need to start studying up on sanctuary cities, targeting specifically to take out of office in the ballot box any mayor, any governor who thinks it's reasonable to have sanctuary cities that are magnets for criminals, fugitives, and terrorists. This is madness. It's an act of suicide for our nation, and they need to be removed from office. You saw what happened in this last election. We can do it in every single town and city from coast to coast and border to border, and every American will be safer if you do it. That's Mikey's suggestion for today. Please consider this. There's elections coming within a year. Get moving. Figure out who's up for election and find out if that town or city is a sanctuary city. Think of it as this way. Adopt a candidate. If you have a candidate willing to confront the sanctuary city problem head on and end it, that is a candidate who is worthy of your vote, and I don't care if they're with the Hopping Kangaroo Party. Forget the R's and the D's. They're irrelevant. They are irrelevant. Just go after the mayors who are making those towns into sanctuary cities and get them booted out so we restore sanity and safety to America and Americans. Getting back to Trump's list, again, sidetracked because I feel so strongly and I feel so encouraged by what America did on Election Day. So we've got block funding for sanctuary cities. Number five, cancel unconstitutional executive orders and enforce all immigration laws. That's right. And I'll tell you what, these DACA kids, we don't necessarily have to go after DACA immediately, but if I was running immigration, I would have every one of their files yanked. I would have their biometrics run through the databases. And if they have criminal histories, you've got their address. You've got their photograph. Happy hunting. Arrest them and get them out of here or put them in jail. They provided you with background information. You've got biometrics on them. Run the biometrics. If they've been convicted of crimes, they become target one. Let's send a message. If you have the chutzpah to file for an immigration benefit and you're a crook, we're going to come looking for you, and we're going to use the information you provided to facilitate our finding you. I did it as an agent, had lots of fun doing it, nothing like a morning of an arrest. You go out, it's a party atmosphere, and then you go out and you make the collar. You feel good, and the community is safer. That's where we need to begin. Number six. Suspend the issuance of visas to any place, in other words, any country, where adequate screening cannot occur. Absolutely. Now, what I would also add to this, if I was talking to Donald Trump, is to consider ending the visa waiver program. Period. That program should have ended the morning after 9/11. Dianne Feinstein, on February the 24th, 1998, at a hearing about terrorists operating in America, also question the wisdom of the visa waiver program. End it. End the visa waiver program. Period. You want to put people to work? You know they want to shrink the government, but it's well worth it to have more consular officials at embassies and consulates. It keeps terrorists off of airplanes. People like the shoe bomber, Richard Reed, and Massawi, the 20th hijacker, and all these others, they didn't need visas because of the visa waiver program. End the visa waiver program. Donald Trump is listening. Mr. Trump, president-elect, you need to end that program. Number seven, ensure that other countries take their people back when we order them deported. That's right. And there's a provision under the law that says countries that don't do that, well, we don't have to give their citizens visas anymore. And I know the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is having a cow over this. But you know what? Anytime I could upset the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is a good day for me. Now, don't misunderstand. There are some local chambers of commerce that are very good. One in Lehigh Valley, in fact, had me come out this past week to tape a television program. We debated immigration. They're excellent over in Lehigh Valley, but that's a local chamber of commerce. The United States Chamber of Commerce, all they want is to flood America with cheap labor, unlimited foreign students, unlimited foreign tourists, and they don't give a damn about the body count. I'm almost convinced that they're trying to drum up business for the funeral home industry. And it is an American industry, let's face it. Number eight, finally complete the biometric entry-exit visa tracking system. Absolutely, this has been ongoing since 1996, 20 years ago. This is beyond belief. 20 years ago, still don't have it. And they've spent over, I think it's $10 billion on a company called Accenture, which was at the time based in Hamilton, Bermuda. When they got the contract, they've since moved to Ireland. Lunacy. Again, this is a component of the visa waiver program, and I've written about it over at capsweb.org and Front Page Magazine, the social contract. Read my articles. I can give you much more in-depth information when you can look at a solid article and you have all the links and everything. Because what I try to do when I write my articles is to give you information that's substantiated. I don't give you myth and nonsense. Number nine, turn off the jobs and benefits magnet. That's right. And what does that mean? It means E-Verify. And people say, don't we need E-Verify? Yeah, we do. But E-Verify by itself won't accomplish the task. You need to hire thousands of more agents, and we need more immigration judges. And why do we need the agents? People say, well, if you have to use E-Verify, well, that's right. But unscrupulous companies that hire people off the books don't use E-Verify because they don't have an official record of their employees who work for them. The only way you find that out is when you have agents doing investigations. And I would partner Labor Department agents with immigration agents where the employment of illegal aliens is concerned and drop an administrative bomb on those places. Go after them. I did it with a diner. I had a diner taken from an unscrupulous owner. He was committing massive tax fraud in addition to treating people like garbage. It infuriated me. He had illegal aliens sleeping in hammocks strung up in the pipes of the basement. And one of those guys, a citizen of Egypt, when we went back to his apartment and we had to chase this guy through the parking lot, it was a scene out of a bad movie. You know, Eddie Murphy could have been doing the scene. He was sliding under cars and running across the roofs of cars, the dishwasher. We went back to his apartment. This is in the early 1980s. We found shopping bags filled to the brim with coupons for stuff he could not possibly want. Women's sanitary napkins and diapers and baby food and dog food. He and another guy, we never found the other guy. Two young men in an apartment. You have a need for diapers and dog food and women's products and so forth? I don't think so. We didn't realize what happened. We deported him, and a couple of months later, there was a news program, and guess what they talked about on the news program? How it was discovered that men from the Middle East were coming to the United States, clipping coupons by the shopping bag full, bringing them to local mosques, and they were also working in cahoots with groceries that they had earned, grocery stores, what we call bodegas, so they were engaging in coupon fraud and food stamp fraud, all kinds of fraud, and the proceeds from the coupon redemptions and all this other garbage was going back in those days to Yasser Arafat, who ran the PLO, a terrorist organization that was responsible for deadly hijackings, the killing of a U.S. sailor on one of those airplanes, I believe in 1973, bombings in Israel, and so forth. They were getting the money by committing coupon fraud. So here's a guy working as a dishwasher in a restaurant, and we found the shopping bags filled to the brim. Never figured out what was going on until about 6 months after we deported him. And the diner owner was treating these people like absolute trash. So we contacted the Internal Revenue Service because back then it wasn't a crime to knowingly hire illegal aliens. They did a thorough investigation and found out that he was beating Uncle Sam to the tune of, I don't even remember what the numbers were. I believe it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars concealing income. Unbelievable. So we need to target places like that. I find no joy in seeing people exploited, whoever they are, from wherever they are. And we can use legal authority to end the practice. And then finally, reform legal immigration to serve the best interests of America and its workers. And Trump is exactly right. But there's one thing that I do want to say, and this is very important. While we need to prioritize criminal aliens, folks, prioritize, we shouldn't only be arresting criminal aliens. Anybody who is an illegal alien should not be able to go to sleep at night confident that he or she won't be discovered the next day. And this is an important fact. Because if you simply say that we're only going to arrest people who have convictions, then you're telling people you can run the border, you can overstay a visa, you can do whatever it takes. Unless you commit a felony, immigration won't bother you. That's nuts. People need to know that if they are found to be here in violation of immigration status, they will be arrested and they will be deported. Period. The other thing to realize, two other things, you have terrorists and spies who embed themselves by keeping a low profile. They don't spit on the sidewalk. They don't jaywalk. If they drive their car, they drive at the speed limit. They do nothing that would get a police officer to want to give them a summons, let alone take them into custody. So that way no one notices them and they can go about their business. Although I will tell you, I believe it was Muhammad Atta who was arrested in New Jersey for speeding a day or two before 9/11. Just think about it. If he had been arrested and held by immigration without anyone perhaps ever knowing about it, the terror plot of 9/11 might have been disrupted. Think about that. And the 9/11 Commission, by the way, made statements about that sort of thing. That simply doing routine law enforcement, whether we even realized it or not, could have prevented 9/11. I believe there were two other terrorists who were similarly stopped for speeding or committing other infractions who could have been held by immigration. So we don't know. To totally rely on terror watch lists is stupid because most terrorists don't show up on watch lists the day before the attack. So that's item number two. Item number three. I used to participate, and here's another lie. If the police get involved in immigration law enforcement, there goes community policing. Big lie, huge lie, tremendous lie, unbelievable lie. Why? Well, I had the privilege of addressing the executive board of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. This was in Boston, Massachusetts, about 10 or 11 years ago, and I gave my talk about immigration and how important it was to enforce the law and the mythology that this disrupts community policing. It doesn't. We don't deport people who are victims of crime. In fact, they can get visas. And if they cooperate and provide information that helps us to dismantle criminal organizations, we can even enable them to bring their families here. There is no greater incentive. This is just another one of the lies that we're being told by the politicians. And when I got done with my presentation, a bunch of those chiefs of police from all over the United States, there must have been 300 people in that room. Not all chiefs, it's just their executive board. And a number of them came up to me and said, you know, Mr. Cutler, you need to take this message across the country. By not enforcing immigration laws, we're making our jobs more dangerous for the police officers under our command, and it endangers community safety. I said, well, why aren't you people out there saying this? Why do we keep seeing these guys in uniform going to the White House? And this was with George W. Bush. It's both parties. And they back up the president. Oh, we must not enforce immigration laws, right? We're police. And they said the same thing to me. If I went out there and said that if we enforce the immigration laws, our communities would be safer, our mayors would fire us in a New York minute. I said, all right, so let me understand this. You are complicit in misinforming the people you swore to protect And by doing this, you're endangering their safety and the safety of the law enforcement officers under your command just so that you can keep your job. How do you sleep at night? Well, you could justify it because if I told the truth and they fired me, God knows who would replace me. If any of you folks can figure out the rational thinking here, send me a note because I'm dumbfounded. This is such a betrayal. This is such a betrayal. When I was a kid, we used to say it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. Sportsmen were revered because they were supposed to be all about honesty and integrity. And now here we are today with all the doping and all the drugs and all the thuggery. It doesn't matter how you play the game. It's whether or not you win. The ends justify the means. That's what's happened to the America that I grew up in. It's gone backwards and sideways, and it's flipped itself inside out. Never mind, it doesn't matter how you win or lose. You damn well better believe it matters. And people will do anything to win, even if it gets their fellow Americans killed. That's where America has gone, places it never should have gone, and only we the people can take it back. So understand why this is so important. And the final reason that we should be arresting people who are here illegally, one of the things I did working with local cops, and we always work together, myself, the NYPD, Nassau County, police officers all over the place, they would raid brothels, massage parlors, and so forth. We did it in the Asian community. We did it in the Latino community, the Russian community. Again, human nature is human nature. This isn't about one ethnic group or another. That's just a lie that we're being told. And what we did was to arrest the illegal aliens who were frequenting these joints, the Johns. Because typically, if they left their wives and girlfriends back home when they came to the United States, they're lonely. Forgive me for putting it this way, but I guess they have the urge to merge. And so, generally, Friday nights and Saturday nights, those joints were jumping. And we used to hit those places, sometimes with public morals cops, sometimes on our own. Many of the girls were illegal aliens. Many of them didn't want to be here. Many were coerced into coming here. You want to talk about human trafficking. You want to talk about a disgusting set of circumstances. So these girls were working in the brothels against their will in many cases, sometimes not. And the guys were here illegally. Well, when the word got out that if you're an illegal alien and you're caught at a brothel, immigration was going to deport you, guess what? People stopped going to the brothels. Some of these places actually shut down, not because the police shut them down, but by enforcing the immigration laws and going after the illegal aliens who were the clientele, they were afraid to go to those places. Yes, they were afraid. And we're told, oh, we don't want the undocumented to be fearful. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I've driven into these sobriety checkpoints. You know, they set them up in New York. Holiday season coming, there'll be more of them. And I'm happy to see them. I was almost killed by a drunk driver back when I was a kid. In fact, it was a very long time ago. I was still in college. It was the morning after my first solo flight in a single-engine airplane. And people told me flying was dangerous. Waiting in a red light, some guy was drunk out of his mind, slammed into my car at 70 miles an hour. And I remember it was 70 because, number one, my car got thrown a couple of hundred feet. And I was lucky I was wearing the seatbelt, but I broke the seat back with my head. I was a mess, but his speedometer stuck. So there we go. And the police in those days didn't take drunk driving seriously, and we were right on the border of New York City and Long Island. The cops wouldn't arrest this guy. You see, it's all about enforcing the law. So people were drinking and driving like crazy. Mothers Against Drunk Drivers came along. They said, you better start arresting these people. They lowered acceptable blood alcohol levels. And guess what? Fatalities attributable to drunk driving declined. So if you're driving drunk, you should be afraid. Because if you get caught, they're going to take your car, your license, your wallet, and your freedom. That's pretty scary. It's called deterrence through enforcement, folks. And that's what we need to do with the immigration laws. When I pull into a sobriety checkpoint, I don't drink and drive. I'm not worried. I know there's no warrants. I know I've got my registration, my insurance card. I got my driver's license. I pull in. Good evening, officer. Good evening, sir. Can I see your license? Here's my license. Have a nice day. Have you had anything to drink? Yeah, I had a cup of coffee. Good for you. Good night. I go on my way. I'm not worried. I'm not intimidated. Now, I've seen people behind me suddenly backing up and doing a circus stunt 180 to get away from that checkpoint. You know there's something wrong with the guy. Maybe there's a warrant. Maybe he's drunk. Maybe he has no license. Is he scared? Sure he is. Should he be scared? You're damn right. So when you hear this nonsense, oh, we're going to scare the undocumented. They should be scared. They're violating the laws that are designed to protect us. That's what needs to be understood. So when we turn around and we see the demonstrators who are out there, and they're raising hell, and everyone should be able to come to America. If these are college kids saying that, when they get out of school and can't get a job and have to live in mommy and daddy's basement, because we have flooded America with foreign workers from India and elsewhere, which is all part of the same equation, the exploitation of immigration to achieve the goals of corporate America and people who exploit illegal aliens and all this other nonsense, maybe they'll sing a different tune when they wake up to reality and really become adults. Is there anybody out there who wouldn't wish that we could have stopped the 9/11 hijackers from coming into the United States so 9/11 wouldn't have happened? I remember watching the Space Shuttle Challenger. I was taking a shower at the time. I got out of the shower. I thought they were launching them. I was expecting to see the usual news conference, shuttles in orbit and so forth. Instead, they showed the empty launch facility. And I heard something very strange. I heard someone say, we're going to try to get the video rolling back. We're going to try to back up the videotape so you could see what happened. When I heard those words, it just stopped me in my tracks. I said, oh my God, something terrible happened. And then they showed it. And they racked it up to where all the astronauts, if you remember Krista McAuliffe and Judith Resnick and all those other astronauts, waved at the cameras as they got into the bus that takes them out to the launch. And you want to scream at the TV and say, don't go. Don't go. But of course it was over. You were watching something that had already happened. They were already dead. They just died minutes earlier. Just minutes earlier. They were alive and well. And kaboom, everything went haywire at 73 seconds after liftoff. Imagine if you could have prevented them from going. Imagine if we could have prevented the terrorists from coming here and killing 3,000 innocent people. And the numbers are even higher because now they're looking at how many more people are suffering terrible, debilitating, miserable illnesses and are dying because of their exposure to the toxins on 9/11 and when the first responders were working in what was called the pile, looking for human remains. What an act of compassion, selflessness. And they're now dying of terrible cancers and diseases. What would you do if you could get into a time machine and prevent those terrorists from ever setting foot on United States soil? Prevent them from ever setting foot on those airplanes they turned into manned cruise missiles. God forbid one day there will be another attack. And then we're going to look back and you're going to hear the business again. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. This isn't xenophobic. This is as stupid as when you were a kid in school and someone said, you're a chicken, you're a chicken. And people did stupid things and got themselves hurt so people wouldn't call them a chicken. And I remember my mother and father saying to me, would you jump off the roof because they called you a chicken? And I said, of course I wouldn't. And I tended to not listen to those bullies. See, those schoolyard bullies are sparring partners for life, much as I hated them. They taught me how to stand up for myself. So now instead of the chicken business, you're being called xenophobe. And I don't want to be called a xenophobe. Well, how would you like to be called stupid? The immigration laws are designed to protect us. And they're not. And therein lies the problem. The fact of the matter is, what we're doing is not in America's best interests. We've got to change that equation by standing up to the bullies. I was listening to a program yesterday, and the message on the program and the host of the show, and over the next couple of weeks I'll talk more about these programs, said, well, I've looked at the law, and under Title 8, United States Code, Section 1325, people who run the border, enter without inspection, are violating the law, and they're supposed to be fined. And he gave the section of law, and it sounded real good, except he left something out. It's not just about being fined. Under that law, you're also supposed to be deported. Do you think it was an accident that he left it out? No, he read the law. But it was about a way of getting the audience to believe that all that was required is to pay a fine, and then you're okay with the law. Wrong. If you go to that section of law, it talks about subject to removal or deportation. So when someone can come on a program, and this is supposed to be a conservative program, by the way, a program I've been on. So when you have a conservative talk show host telling you that all that they have to do is pay a fine, you know you're being lied to by economists. There's no other way of describing it. You read the law. Why don't you read the whole law? Why just talk about a fine? That's why you're being told, well, of course, we can't deport 11 million. It's probably 30 million. No one's telling you that if, in point of fact, we gave all those people lawful status, they would immediately be eligible to bring their spouses here, and they would work or go on welfare. And more importantly, they'd be able to bring all their minor children here. But American schools can't control their workload now. Schools are dedicated to teachers, especially out of their own pockets, and they don't make much money in most school districts. So they can buy supplies for the kids in classes because the schools can't afford to buy basic supplies. What happens when we bring in another 10 million or 15 million foreign students who can't speak English and go to those schools that are struggling to survive? See, I don't care who does this to us. Anybody who would do this to us is acting against our children and their future, especially our minority children who have the worst time of it at all, of all. Americans should be served by their government. And what do I mean by served by our government? Protect us from the drugs and the criminals and the terrorists and the foreign workers who are displaced in the workplace. I don't care if you're a liberal or a conservative. I don't care how much you think government should play a role in our lives or not. National security, public safety are fundamental. And if a government can't deliver on those, then nothing else our government does matters one bit. We have a new president coming, a new mindset coming. We've got a new attorney general coming, and I am privileged to tell you that I've had meetings with Senator Sessions. He quoted me from the floor of the Senate on multiple times back in 07 when I wrote an article and referred to comprehensive immigration reform as the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act. Certainly, I'm encouraged. But we need to keep our eyes open. We need to deal with the local politicians, especially where sanctuary cities are concerned. And we need to engage people in honest conversations and dispel the myths and the lies being spewed by all too many of our supposed news programs and supposed journalists. Truth is a very powerful weapon, and John Adams was right. Facts are stubborn things. It's always wonderful getting together with you at the end of the week. I very much look forward to it, and I thank you for being here. Thank you for visiting with me for that hour a week. If you like the program, if you find the articles that I write, which you can find at capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract, or just go to michaelcutler.net. If you like what you're seeing, tell as many of your friends and neighbors about it. I'm trying to create a bucket brigade of truth to dispel the lies, the myths, and the nonsense so that we can finally make our country safe and ensure the future not only of our country, but our children and their children. Please remember, folks, democracy is not a spectator sport. Get involved. Get involved. That's something we all must do. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. So long for now.